Let's turn now to Proverbs chapter 2. I'll read verses 1 through 11. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart. And knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Let's pray. O Lord, you give wisdom. From your mouth come knowledge and understanding. Instruct us now more in your word. In your way, that we may live rightly before you and before others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Even if you've never heard of the Backpack Index, many of you already have firsthand experience with what it tracks. The cost of school supplies. Over the last decade, the cost of required classroom supplies and school fees has nearly doubled. I understand that for the 2018-2019 school year, prices have actually dipped in some ways, but the figures are still stunning. According to the Backpack Index, you can expect to pay $637 for an elementary school child, $941 for a middle school child, and $1,355 for high school students. So for many folks, these numbers are comparable to an average mortgage. Now, if you're one of the people who's gone into the back to school aisle at the store and still live to tell about it, then you may not have had much time to reflect on the overall purpose of your investment. You were so focused on and riveted on trying to locate those 1.5-inch binders, glue sticks, folders that have the three prongs in them, other items like that, that you didn't think much about the educational objective behind your shopping. Your main purpose was to get in there, accomplish your mission, get out, and start sorting supplies. So when it comes to the instructional aim of your purchases, there's an author named Mark Prensky who has written, "As I continue to delve deeper and deeper into the world of education and K-12 schools and how each needs to prepare our children for the 21st century, I find myself focusing on a single word with increasing frustration, learning." That might seem strange, he says. Pretty much everything you hear and read about education these days assumes that learning is the goal for our students, but it's not. The real goal of education and of school is becoming a good person and becoming a more capable person than when you started. Learning is nothing but a means of accomplishing that goal, and it's dangerous to confuse the ends with the means. So learning serves the larger purpose of living. Learning serves the larger purpose of becoming. And I think there's some of that approach in today's scripture passage that I read a few minutes ago from Proverbs. Recall that the book of Proverbs has a lot to do with education and with learning. Its primary purpose is to teach people how to live wisely, how to live godly lives. In Proverbs, the learning objective isn't primarily to master a particular body of knowledge, but to know how to live rightly before God, how to live rightly before others. So instead of promising you a particular diploma in a particular specialty, you open the book of Proverbs, and what it seems to be guaranteeing more is a degree in discernment. That's what it's offering. For attaining wisdom and discipline, it says, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. So the question that drives the book of Proverbs is the same question that drives the search and pursuit of wisdom in all kinds of places and times and cultures. Basically, how best to live? What to become through wisdom and learning? But living necessarily involves learning. And in the culture in which the book of Proverbs developed and arose, that was more of a generational kind of practice. There were no public schools. Wisdom from previous generations, teaching and instruction, was handed on from parents to their children, from teachers and leaders to the younger folks, particularly in the case of boys, who would have been involved even more deeply in the instruction of the Torah, God's laws, God's teachings. In fact, the book of Proverbs, though it could have been used to sort of add to the wisdom of those who had already developed a lot of wisdom in many ways, its primary audience was probably young, inexperienced males who were on the threshold of adult life. Our text today, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your hearts to understanding. That conditional formulation, if, it appears three times in the opening verses of our scripture today. If you accept my words, if you call out for insight, if you look for it as for silver. So wisdom isn't a given in life. It doesn't just happen. You have to pursue it. We have to seek it. We have to want it and strive for it. We need to seek after it, pursue it, pray for it, really desire it, this thing called wisdom. It's been a long time ago, but there was a movie called Yentl. Barbara Streisand starred in it, and she was a young unmarried woman who has an insatiable appetite for learning and sacred wisdom within the Jewish tradition, but that world is reserved primarily for males in that particular context. So her character leaves home, she changes her name, she masquerades as an older boy, and she gets accepted to an academy where they study the Talmud, the history of the discussion and interpretation of the Jewish law, God's teachings. And there's one scene where she and her father are playing a game of chess when she tells him how much she envies those who get to be involved in the study of the Talmud. They get to discuss, she says, life, the mysteries of the universe. That's what they get to do. And all I get instruction in is how to tell the difference between a herring and a carp in my life. So her father tells her that, well, men and women have different obligations, but don't ask why, he says. And he finally gives in to her request for another study session. So she goes and pulls another book off the shelf. And while that's happening, he tells her to go and close the shutters as well. And as she's doing that, she asks, well, if you don't have to hide studying from God, why do you have to hide it from the neighbors? And her father says, well, because I trust that God will understand, but I don't trust that the neighbors will. And then he goes on to reflect on Yentl's own desire for learning across the years. questions, questions. You always ask questions, even from your earliest years. Does a goat have a soul? What's behind the universe? These kinds of questions. And they laugh together. Eventually he gets tired and goes to bed. But she takes a prayer shawl and she puts it up over her head and the light shines through it. And she's silhouetted as she begins her time of prayer and study and says, God, O merciful Father, I'm wrapped in a robe of light, clothed in your glory that spreads its wings over my soul. May I be worthy. See, Yentl has a desire, an insatiable appetite for sacred wisdom. She knows how precious it is to examine, to inquire about the will of God and the ways of God and the purposes of God. Go back to our scripture today. If you look for it as for silver, or search for it like it's treasure, something precious to you, more precious than all kinds of other stuff that you have or that you chase after, pursue. It's that. It's much more valuable. So when it comes to wisdom, there is an if. It doesn't just fall into your lap. You have to pursue it, seek for it. But at the same time, we're told that wisdom is a gift of God. It's not something that we achieve on our own. It's not a reward for completing a particular course of study. If we look back at our scripture passage today, it says, the Lord gives wisdom. Whose mouth does it come from? It comes from His. It comes knowledge, understanding. I once took a class at a school where when you enter the library, they had this verse displayed in beautiful artwork before you go into the section where all the rows and rows and rows of books are, so that any student would be able to remember that wisdom, learning, is about much more than just the accumulation and the storing up of theological information. It's most of all about how to acquire wisdom, how to get it from the ultimate source of knowledge, and to reflect on the fact that it's not just something to be stored up, something to be given by God, and something to be given by God so that we know how to live rightly before God, before others, how best to live. And then there was another panel in that library that had another verse from today's scripture passage, verse 10. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So here was another reminder that wisdom is more than just the accumulation of information. We've got tons and tons and tons of information coming at us from all directions all the time. But pursuing wisdom is more than just the accumulation of mental data. In the biblical sense, wisdom, we're told, is a gift of God. A gift of God that makes its way right there into the very center of your being, who you are, and it enables you to conduct yourself rightly toward God and toward neighbor. So learning feeds into living, but living also feeds into learning, we're told to. In fact, some of the deepest wisdom that God gives you in your life will come not simply through thinking and reflection and reading and searching. Some of the greatest wisdom God will give you in your life is through your lived experiences. We don't simply learn in order to obey. We actually learn through our obedience. Obedience itself sort of becomes a school in which we acquire what God wants us to acquire, and He teaches us what He wants to teach us, things about how things work in God's world. So it's not just a matter of sort of stepping back and analyzing daily life. When it comes to wisdom, daily life is where you get enrolled. You enroll in daily life so that through all your relationships, your experiences, your events, your activities, your accomplishments, and your failures, that becomes the classroom where God teaches you some of the things you most need to know about His will, His plans, and purposes. I like the way that Oswald Chambers put it when he said, never try to explain God until you have obeyed Him. The only bit of God we understand is the bit we have obeyed and done. So our knowledge of God, how much we truly know God, corresponds to our obedience to God. And our obedience to God corresponds to our obedience to Jesus. After all, Jesus is the wisdom of God incarnate in the flesh. Jesus doesn't just go around teaching and preaching wisdom. He is wisdom. From the Christian standpoint, it's crucial to remember that to us, wisdom isn't something. It's someone, Jesus, someone whom you need to know personally and deeply and walk with and follow by faith, the one in whom God's will is fully and decisively revealed, the one you need to know personally and deeply, because to know Jesus is to know wisdom. To follow Jesus and to be obedient to Jesus is to live a wise life. Wisdom. Wisdom. There's a man named Andrew Murray, and he wrote about how important it is to obey Jesus. And in obeying Jesus, how much we get wisdom through that. He says, we come to Christ asking him to teach us the lost art of obeying God as he did. The only way of learning to do a thing is to do it. When it comes to following Jesus, the only way to learn a thing isn't simply through study and reflection, thinking, those kinds of things, though that's important. The way to learn to do a thing is to do it. The only way of learning obedience from Christ is to give up your will to him and to make the doing of his will the one desire and delight of your heart. That's pretty much the pursuit of wisdom, giving up your will to Christ, following and doing his will. Now let's go back to today's text. If you pursue wisdom, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Don was speaking in his children's message earlier about the fear of the Lord in the negative sense of how fear, fright of God, can hinder us from knowing his love, that he loves us. So there is that sense of fear. But here in Proverbs particularly, the fear of the Lord is a very positive kind of thing. That great phrase, the fear of the Lord, it really captures the theme of the whole book of Proverbs, and it expresses basically God's total claim on your life and your total life response to God. God's total claim on your life, on my life, on everybody's life, and your total life response to God. The fear of the Lord means essentially religion in that comprehensive sense of your life in its entirety, all of it, everything about it, devoted to God and God's service. That's the fear of the Lord. That's where we're told wisdom begins. That's where true wisdom starts and true knowledge begins. You've already heard some today about how yesterday here at our church, some folks from our church and from our daycare ministry gathered to share backpacks full of school supplies with children here in our community to help them in the beginning of their school year. And that's partly because the experience of education requires not only a hungry mind, yeah, that's part of it, a heart that wants to search and grow and learn, yes, that's part of it. But part of it's also just the nuts and bolts of things that maybe only Walmart or Target can provide, or wherever else you like to go as your retailer. Pencils, crayons, erasers, notebook paper, folders, binders, composition books. I don't know if many of you, when you come here to church on Sunday morning, bring learning supplies with you. I see a pretty steady supply of Bibles, highlight markers, pens, notepads, even the occasional tote bag. Some of you come and go here weighed down with things you either brought with you or go out with as well. So those are some of the learning supplies that I see here when we're together on Sunday morning. Some of you, like I said, arrive weighed down. Some of you arrive empty-handed, but I hope that whichever one is the case, by the time you leave here on Sunday, that somehow, in some way, in the presence of God, we have packed your disciples' backpack with the things that will greatly matter to you. Wisdom, is it in there? Understanding, is it in there in your pack? The knowledge of God, is it in there? The fear of the Lord, is it there in your pack as you go from the Lord's house today? These are the kinds of things that we try to use to fill your disciples' backpack each Sunday. And that's especially because these are the kinds of things that you can't put a price on. They have a value, a preciousness that far exceeds all the other kinds of things that we measure in dollars and cents. And their true worth, those kinds of things that go into your disciples' backpack here on Sunday, their true worth will become evident in your life as you go about following Jesus, following a good path, living wisely, rightly before God and others, pursuing wisdom. Pursue it. You have to pursue it. God gives it, and God often gives as we seek it. Let's pray. God, the ultimate source of knowledge and wisdom, that's who you are. Thank you for how your will and purpose has been revealed to us, your wisdom, most fully and decisively through Jesus. Give us a deeper desire for wisdom, a growing appetite for the knowledge of you, not only intellectually, but most of all in obedience, in actual living, because we know that's very often where you'll teach us and instruct us. Show us how the rest of this day and into this week to go into the classroom of life and let you instruct us and teach us. We want to seek and pursue wisdom. We pray that you give it to us so that we may live rightly, so that we may learn, so that we may become who you want us to be through Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.